الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد وصلنا في دروس السيرة النبوية المشرفة إلى الحديث عن الغزوة الثالثة والعشرين من غزوات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهي عمرة القضاء أو عمرة القضية. طبعا ما علاقة يعني عمرة القضاء بالغزوات، يعني
ماذا عمرة 23 is called عمرة القضاء. Some scholars consider this a battle. And other scholars consider it a trip or a travel that the Messenger of Allah was in. The author considered the author here considered Umrat al-Qada a battle. For it was a part of the treaty, the conditions of the treaty that the Messenger of Allah has signed with Quraysh in Mecca. As we know, in the sixth year of Hijrah, when the Messenger led his companions to perform Umrah in Mecca, the Kuffar in Mecca, Quraysh, has stopped them and blocked them from going into Mecca and forbade them to come in and perform Umrah. And as a result, a war was about to break out until the two parties reached a treaty. And that a treaty and a truce. And among the conditions of this treaty is for the Messenger and his companions to return back to Medina and come back the year after and perform their Umrah. And this Umrah would be a makeup of the Umrah that they were intending to perform on the sixth year of Hijrah. So the condition was for them to return where they came from and come back the next year to make up for that Umrah that they were not allowed to perform. And since there's a connection between the treaty that was signed and the Umrah that was to be performed the year after, some scholars considered this trip from Medina to Mecca to perform Umrah, they considered it a battle because it was a part of that treaty that was signed. The Messenger left in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, in the seventh year of Hijrah, which is exactly 1 year from the date that treaty was signed. And no one from the companions, the Muslims that went out with the Messenger in the sixth year missed this trip in the seventh year. The same people that went out to perform Umrah the sixth year and that were turned down or turned back returned in the seventh year with the Messenger of Allah. When people of Mecca heard that the Messenger of Allah moved from Medina coming on his way to Mecca, the dwellers and the citizens of Mecca lost their minds in anger and hatred. And their leaders left Mecca, left the whole city altogether, so they don't have to witness the Muslims going in and performing Umrah in their city. So the leaders of the numerous tribes in Mecca took their people and left to the suburbs, left even farther than the suburbs, left into the desert and camped until the Muslims left. They were hoping that the Messenger and his companions they were hoping that they would not will not be able to come back on that date. And they spread rumors that there is an epidemic spreading in the Medina. Illness and sickness and disease is widespread in Medina, and the Muslims are not going to be able to make it to Mecca.
البوادي وكذا والبقية يعني من بقي من قريش في مكة صفوا عند دار الندوة لينظروا ليراقبوا من بعيد كذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه وهم
and spread that rumor and unfortunately for them the rumor the lie that they spread and believe did not come true and the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came or made the trip to come to Mecca. At that time, the elite of Mecca, the leaders of the tribes, left the whole city to avoid seeing the Muslims. And the rest of the Mecca inhabitants gathered around Bayt al-Nadwa. And Bayt al-Nadwa is like the parliament of Mecca. And it is a little bit the farthest point from Al-Kaaba.
ويجعل طرف الرداء على كتفه الأيمن.
The people gathered there and started looking on the lookout, waiting for the Muslims to come in to watch.
الجهة اليسرى جعلها مغطاة المائي في جهة الكعبة، لكن الجهة اليمنى هي التي في الجهة.
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, as he was nearing Mecca, shifted his ihram clothing, which is the part that covers the top, the upper body. The Messenger covered his right shoulder, his left shoulder, and made his left shoulder, covered his left shoulder with a piece of clothing, and left his right shoulder exposed. So the skin of his right shoulder was shown. And this is a sunnah in performing Umrah. And the Messenger started in a motion like jogging in performing Umrah, not running and not walking, faster than walking and a lot slower than running, a strong looking posture. And of course the companions followed suit.
فهرول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاثة أطواف
مسجد صلى الله عليه وسلم
ثلاثة أشواط يعني ومشى في سائله
مسجد صلى الله عليه
وسلم وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم رحم الله امرأً أراهم اليوم من نفسه قوله
Going around Al-Kaaba three times and the other four times walked. The Messenger told his companions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them to show strength in performing worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly in a worship like Hajj. To show the enemies of Islam the strength and the love and devotion Muslims perform their worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to perform lazily or tiresomely or weakly. And this type of walk is not the arrogant type of walk. It is a type of strong walk. For Allah subhanahu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told before that when some of his companions during a war, a battle, started walking strongly and demonstrating their strength in front of the enemy, the Messenger said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates this posture in every situation except in war, when you try to intimidate your enemy by walking arrogantly and strongly to intimidate them and scare them. The Messenger in his walk and his posture towards performing Umrah was a strong posture, not an arrogant posture. It looks arrogant because of the knees going up and the elbows shifting back and forth, but it is a posture of strength.
وخرج مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في عمرة القضاء فبعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب ميمونة بنت الحارث الهلالية.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم sent Ja'far, his uncle Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, to ask for the hand of Maymuna for marriage for him. And Maymuna was in Mecca, she was a Muslim woman in Mecca, being pushed around and intimidated, and her suffering was famous in Medina for what she had to put up with from the kuffar in Mecca. The Messenger sent his uncle to ask for her hand for marriage for the Messenger. Maymuna made Al-Abbas, who is the other uncle of the Messenger وسلم, who dwelled in Mecca. She asked Al-Abbas to be her wali, to be her elder, so he would give the yes answer to Ja'far. Messenger وسلم performed the duties of Umrah, finished them, and stayed in Mecca for 3 days and three nights. In the fourth day, Mecca sent the messenger to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, appealing to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to leave Mecca immediately, respecting the treaty that was signed. The leaders of Mecca started getting worried when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم stayed the third night, and the son of the fourth day came and he still has not left. So they sent their people, messengers, to ask him and appeal to him to leave immediately so they do not look back among the Arabs and Arab tribes in the area.
من الأنصار قال كتبت ليست بأرضك ولا أرض أبي لا يخرج إلا راضيا. فسعد رد عليه قال كتبت ليست بأرضك ولا بأرض أبي
سعد
لا يخرج
answered him and said
من مكة إلا راضيا.
You lied. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم will never leave this land unless he wants to leave this land. This land, this is not your land or your father's land. This is all of us's land. This is the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم replied to Sa'd, saying to him, do not exaggerate in your anger. These are people that came to visit us in our camp, so do not be rude to them. So the Messenger told him that they are guests and we do not speak to guests.
In that
then
the
Messenger replied to the messengers of Mecca,
فقال لهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وما عليكم لو تركتموني فأعرست بين أظهركم.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said,
قال وما عليكم لو تركتموني
would there be anything wrong with it if I stayed an extra few days and held my wedding to Maymuna here in my city and had a feast for all of us? They said, we have no need for your feast or your food. We plead to you to leave. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم respected the treaty, respected the truce that he had signed, and did not want to break and breach that contract that they have signed. Ordered his companions to prepare to leave and left. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم asked Rafi', a companion of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, to stay behind and grab and escort Maymuna to Al-Madinah, to follow them to Al-Madinah. So the Messenger sent the word to Maymuna to prepare to travel and told her that she would be escorted by Rafi. Then the Messenger and the companions left.
فأبو رافع يعني أحضر ميمونة
أبو رافع
وجاءت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ميمونة
until they reached to an area called Salif, and Salif is a village in the way to Medina from Mecca. And the Messenger was waiting in that area with his companions. And the Messenger married Maymuna in that village.
كانت لاقت يعني عناء ولاقت أجل من المشركين. بنى بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بسبك يعني وصنع وليمة وأطعم
مثلا صلى الله عليه وسلم had a feast a big feast which is a customary sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that when a man marries has to have a feast and invite his loved ones and his friends and brothers and family. So the Messenger set up the feast and married Maymuna in Salaf, and after that resumed their journey back to Medina. The battle number 24 is the battle of conquering Mecca.
وكانت هذه الغزوة
It's called في شهر فتح
رمضان
مكة.
من العام الثامن الهجري.
And this happened
شهر
in
رمضان
the month of Ramadan, the eighth year of الهجرة.
سبب هذه الغزوة
The reason for this battle
أنه لو تذكرون يعني أنه في صلح الحديبية
If you remember during the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, two years prior, the sixth year, the truce that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم had signed with Mecca, one of the articles in that truce is whomever of the tribes Well, the truce was for 10 years. No fighting for 10 years. And among the articles is whomever from the Arab tribes to be allied to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he can. And whomever among the Arab tribes wants to ally himself with Mecca, he can as well. So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم had the freedom and liberty to make allies around his city. So some of the Arabs allied with Mecca and some Arabs allied with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Another article in the truce is if a tribe allied to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم it cannot be attacked by Mecca and if a tribe was allied to Mecca it cannot be attacked by the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم so any attack on these allied tribes is an attack on the two parties signing the truce and it would be a breach of the truce breach of the contract and the treaty The tribe of Khuza'a became allied to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Khuza'a had Muslims and it also had Kuffar. Not the whole tribe was Muslim. So Khuza'a allied itself with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. The tribe of Bani Bakr allied themselves with Quraysh. In the eighth year, of Hijra, there was war between the tribe of Khuza'a, allied with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the tribe of Bani Bakr. Now, according to the treaty, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم cannot attack Bani Bakr, and Mecca cannot attack Khuza'a. What happened is, Quraysh sent troops to help Bani Bakr against Khuza'a. and participated, Quraysh participated in the war alongside Bani Bakr against Khuza'a.
فلما حصل يعني قريش يعني ساعد بني بكر وناصروهم سرا حتى قتلوا ايه قتلوا رجالا من ايه
so they allied بني بكر
يعني قريش ساعد بني بكر يعني وحاولوا ايه ان تكون هذه المساعده من غير معلنه
they supported them in the war against Khuza'a secretly
ساعدوهم وقتلوا رجالا من Khuza'a
and killed men from the tribe of Khuza'a
فجاء عمرو بن سالم الخزاعي
عمرو بن سالم
اثنين من زعماء
عمرو بن سالم
جاء الى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
came to the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in Medina along with a second person and they told the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that Quraysh is supporting Bani Bakr against them and they asked the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم for his help and for his support
يعني ساعدت بني بكر
according to the alliance between them
القتال وقتل منا ناس يعني قتلهم بني بكر ومن يساعدهم من قريش فاستنجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
so he asked the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم for help and he recited a poetry a poem to the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم explaining the whole event recited to him what happened and what led him to his visit to the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and at the end the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him you are going to be supported
طبعا الان الخبر ايه وصل الى قريش
at this point the news arrived to Mecca Quraysh found out that the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم found out about their support of Bani Bakr at this point they started feeling regret and fear for what they have done in breaching the treaty and they knew for sure that the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم will punish them and at this point he is stronger Abu Sufyan, who is the leader of Mecca, the leader of Quraysh, after the death, of course, of the elite of Quraysh's leadership in the two major battles, Badr and Uhud. Most of the elite of Quraysh was killed in those two battles, which led Abu Sufyan to become the sole leader of Quraysh. Abu Sufyan was the leader of the Quraysh army in Uhud, and he was the leader of Quraysh army in Al-Khandaq, in the Battle of the Trenches. So Abu Sufyan, leader of Quraysh, traveled to Medina, coming to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, intending to tell the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that we are still respecting the truce and we want to extend the truce.
دائما يعني الطرف الذي يطلب الهدنة ويسعى إليها دائما هو الطرف الأضعف يعني طالب منها فهو جاء يعني يطلب الهدنة ويطلب يعني زيادة
So Abu Sufyan came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with those two goals.
فدخل على بنته أم حبيبة ذهب إلى
So he went to the Medina and on the outskirts of Medina lives his daughter Ummu Habiba and Ummu Habiba is the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her and she traveled from Mecca to Medina with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the Hijrah she was among the first to travel to Medina and she has traveled to Habasha prior to the Hijrah to Medina. So Abu Sufyan went to visit his daughter before he met the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he came, he attempted to sit on like a ceiling, ceiling area. And when he came to sit, his daughter pulled it away and took it away from him.
قال يا بني هل أنت يعني
In his surprise, he asked him, Are you trying to keep me from sitting on this? Or are you trying to keep this from being sat on by me? Meaning, is this like a dirty area you don't want me to sit in? Or you don't think I'm good enough to sit in? She replied, This is the seat of the Messenger of Allah, and you are a kafir. And you are not, I'm not going to allow you to sit on the Messenger of Allah's seat. He replied, obviously something wrong, something mental is wrong with you. So he left his daughter and went to the Messenger of Allah. He approached the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ignored him. He started to speak to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ignored him again. So Abu Sufyan didn't know what to do and he seeked and searched for Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, knowing how close he is to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he told Abu Bakr, This is why I came here. I want to extend the
فكلم أبا بكر رضي الله عنه فقال أبو بكر ما أنا بفاعل قال أبو بكر ما أنا بفاعل
Speak to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم so we can do this. أبو بكر الصديق said I will never do that. Then he went to Umar ibn al-Khattab and he spoke to Umar, told him the same thing, and asked him to ask the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to speak to him and told him that Mecca made a, Quraysh made a mistake and it will never support Bani Bakr again. And we want to respect the truth and I want you to speak to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Umar
said, you want me to intercede for you to extend the truth? I swear to the Almighty God, if I couldn't find anything to fight you with except for a little stick, I would use that little stick to fight you. So he went after Ali ibn Abi Talib, the Messenger of Allah's cousin. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was sitting with his wife Fatima and his son Al-Hasan. So Abu Sufyan said, Oh Ali, you are the closest one to me. I came needing something. And Ali asked him to tell him what he needs and he will do his best to fulfill it for him. And he explained the whole situation for him and he asked him to intercede with the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to speak to Abu Sufyan and extend the truce.
Ali replied, The
Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has already made up his mind. He is very angry and none of us can change that. Then he started speaking to Fatima. So he addressed her saying, O you daughter of Muhammad, could you tell your son Al-Hasan, could you tell your son to go ask his grandfather, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, to sit with me and extend this truth, and I promise you this will make your son the master of the Arabs for preventing a war.
فقالت فاطمة رضي الله عنها ما بلغني أن يجير قالت ما بلغني أن يجير ابن صغير على هذا
My son is not even an adult to speak to his grandfather about a matter like this. So everybody he saw
فقال أبو سفيان قال يا أبا الحسن يخاطب علي رضي الله عنه
So Abu Sufyan قد اشتد الأمر back to Ali.
قال يا أبا الحسن اشتد الأمر
And said to Ali, things are getting really things are getting really difficult. At least give me an advice. What should I do?
فقال يعني اشتد الامر عليه وكذا يعني كيف ارجع فانصحني فقال علي رضي الله عنه ما اعلم شيئا يغني عنك لكنك سيد بني كنانه فقم فاجر بين الناس ثم الحق بارضك فعلي رضي الله عنه قال انت سيد لا اعلم شيئا يعني
I don't know what good advice to give you. But you are the leader of Bani Kunana. And Bani Kunana is the mother tribe that includes Quraysh and includes a lot of other Arab tribes. So Ali told Abu Sufyan, you are the leader of Bani Kunana. Go and call the people to support you. Call people to support you and ally themselves with you to protect you. And then go to your land, go to your home, and wait for what's going to happen. We cannot do anything for you.
فقام فقال أيها الناس قد أجرت بين الناس. فقام المسلمين انتظر تجمع المسلمين وقال هذا أيها الناس قد أجرت بين الناس. ثم ركب بعيره وانطلق. فلما قدم مكة أخبرهم.
So he rode his camel and his caravan and went back to Mecca.
قالوا فهل أجاز لك محمد؟
And told
لما قلت أجرت بين الناس محمد
the Meccans
قال قبلت جوارك ولا
about what happened.
يعني هو عرض عرضا هل محمد قبل هذا العرض؟ قال لا. قالوا فما يغني عنك هذا؟
And they asked him what has transpired, and he explained everything to them, and that he could not get anything accomplished in Al-Madinah. So Abu Sufyan wanted the truce, and he offered the truce, and he was turned down.
قال وأمر المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس بالجهاد.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered the companions, ordered the Muslims in Medina to prepare. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told Amr ibn Salam that you will be supported. And after they left the tribe of Khuza'a, the leader of the tribe of Khuza'a, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered his companions to prepare.
وأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أهله أن يجهزوا أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جهزوا له عدة
ordered his house his wives to prepare his war to prepare him for war.
ودخل أبو بكر رضي الله عنه على عائشة رضي الله عنها وهي تجهز
أبو بكر الصديق walked in at his daughter Aisha, the wife of the Messenger. He walked in and asked Aisha, his daughter,
the
Messenger made it a habit that when he intends to go to war, he kept it a secret. He never declared where he's going. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq went to his daughter, and she is the secret keeper of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and wanted to ask her, do you know where the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is heading? Is he going to Bani Khuza'a? Or is he going to Bani Bakr? Wanted to know the destination for what they are preparing, for where they are going. She replied, I don't know. I wasn't told. And after everybody was prepared, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم declared to them, we are headed to Mecca. And then the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم made a supplication.
يخفي الله تعالى خبره عن قريش
made a supplication and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the eyes of Mecca blind, meaning the spies that are in Medina trying to find out what's going on, to tell Mecca about the march of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam toward them. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep it a secret so Mecca would not know that he is heading their way. The Muslim army was made up of 10,000 men. And this is an indication of the great number of people that became Muslims after the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah in the year 6 of Al-Hijrah. The Messenger's armies were made of 300, 900, 1,000, 1,500, 3,000. And this battle, the number of the Muslim army jumped to 10,000. It was the biggest army. The first biggest army.
أخبار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على قريش فلا يأتيهم عنه خبر.
Quraysh had no idea that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was coming towards them. They knew that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم refused their truce and refused to abide by the treaty that they signed because they breached it, refused to renew it, but did not know that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was headed towards them. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم leading the Muslims reached an area before Mecca. At a night, Abu Sufyan and Hakim ibn Huzam, and both of them of course became Muslim later on, they went out at night away from Mecca, just looking around at night, looking for news to ask people passing by if they have seen Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم coming their way. Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, who is the uncle of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, left, and he dwelled all of his time in Mecca. He never left to Medina. At that time, he was leaving to Medina. Some scholars say that Al-Abbas was a Muslim since the days of the Battle of Badr, and he kept his Islam secret because he was living among the Kuffar. Other scholars say he became Muslim after that. What's important here is Al-Abbas was leaving Mecca, headed to Medina for good. On his way, he ran into Abu Sufyan. Actually, he ran into the Muslims' army led by the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in that area. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم killed them.
إن دخل مكة عنوة قبل أن يستأمنوه إنه لهلاكهم إلى آخر الدهر. فلما العباس رأى جيش
وأن العباس saw the army, the huge army, said Quraysh is dead. If the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم enters Mecca with this army, Quraysh is dead. If the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم does not give them safety and guarantee their safety, this army will be the death of Quraysh. So he sat on the mule of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يجلبون الحطب وكذا من ماء يعني من تلك الماء من منطقة نهر الزهران، بعض الناس يخرجون من مكة يجلبون الحطب من هذه المنطقة. فخرج العباس كده يعني
العباس رود ذا مسنجر صلى الله عليه وسلم ميول looking for woodsmen, people who collect wood.
يلتقي بأبي سفيان.
Because the people of Mecca usually come to this area, Marr al-Ridwan, to get their wood for fire. So Al-Abbas was riding the Messenger of Allah's mule, and he ran into Abu Sufyan, the leader of Quraysh. The Messenger of Allah has ordered his companions to light a huge fire. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم wanted to reflect the great numbers of his army by lighting up a great fire. So he ordered each and every one of his companions, all the 10,000 men, to light up 10,000 fires. So every soldier lit up a fire. So they all gathered their wood and lit up their fires, and their fire turned night into day. Abu Sufyan said, I have never in my life seen fire like this before.
ثم إن العباس يعني قال رضي الله عنه قال لأبي سفيان قال إن ظفر بك لا يضربن عنقه.
العباس Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم's uncle told Abu Sufyan, if the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم gets a hold of you, he will break your neck.
هذه البغلة لآتي بك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأستأمنه لك.
Ride with me on this mule, and I will take you to the Messenger of Allah and ask him to grant you safety. For if he gets his hands on you and you don't have his safety, your neck will be broken. Abu Sufyan accepted, rode behind Al-Abbas, on the mule and headed towards the Messenger's camp. And every time they passed by a fire, they ask who's there, and they see the Messenger's mule, and they let them go. Al-Abbas narrates saying, until we reached the fire of Umar,
الحمد لله الذي أمكن منك بغير عبد ولا عهد. قال عدو الله أبو سفيان.
عمر بن الخطاب الحمد لله الذي أمكن أبو سفيان could not believe his eyes. He thanked. He said, I thank God Almighty that I have you in my sight. I can reach you with my hands, and there is no treaty that can protect you from me. And I don't have to let you go or
forgive
you. And Abbas told him to calm down, for he was headed towards the Messenger of Allah. So Umar beat them to the Messenger of Allah to beg him to allow him to kill Abu Sufyan.
قال العباس فسبقته بما تسبق الدواب الرجل.
العباس knew that Umar was trying to ask the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم's permission to kill Abu Sufyan. العباس wanted to intercede between Abu Sufyan and the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, so the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم can grant him safety and security, so he doesn't get killed.
قال فدخلت عليه ودخل عمر.
العباس says, I entered to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم's camp and Umar came with me simultaneously.
فقال العباس يا رسول الله إني أجرته.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told Umar, sever his neck from his body, meaning Abu Sufyan. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told Umar to kill Abu Sufyan. Al-Abbas stood in front of him and
فقال
said,
النبي
Oh
صلى الله
Messenger
عليه
of Allah,
العباس اذهب به الى رحلك
I'm trying to intercede
فاذا
with you to
اصبحت
spare his
فاتيني
life.
به قال اذهب به الى رحلك
Messenger صلى الله عليه
فاذا
وسلم
اصبحت فاتيني به
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told Al-Abbas,
معك
told
يعني
his uncle,
يعني
take Abu Sufyan with you to your
في
camp
الصباح
and in the morning
يعني احضره
bring him
وتعالى
back to me.
قال فغدوت به فغدوت به يعني ذهبت به
العباس
صباح
I left that night and came back the next
فلما
morning.
رآه قال ويحك يا أبا سفيان
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
صباح كلم أبا سفيان قال ويحك يا أبا
saw Abu
سفيان ألم يأن لك أن تعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله يعني أنا
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
أن
turned to Abu Sufyan and said, Isn't it time for you, Abu
قال
Sufyan?
لقد
It said, Shame on you, Abu Sufyan. Isn't it time for you to know that there is no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not except for one God? After you saw how you were and how we were and how we are now and how you are now. Abu Sufyan replied, Now I know that there is no God except for one God.
قال ألم يأن لك أن تعلم أني رسول الله
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم then said Isn't it time for you to realize that I am a messenger from Allah subhanahu
قال
wa ta'ala
بأبي أنت وأمي ما أحلمك
Abu Sufyan said
بأبي أنت وأمي يعني كذاك أبي وأمي
Abu Sufyan said
يعني ما أعظم حلمك
How patient
أما هذه
you are
نفسي منها شيء حتى الآن
It is amazing how patient you are with us
حتى الآن
I've never doubted that you are a messenger
فقال له
of Allah.
العباس أسلم قبل
I
أن
could
يبلغ.
not allow myself to accept it. Al-Abbas replied quickly, saying, Abu Sufyan, testify that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is his messenger before they break your neck around here. And then he looked at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, I bear witness that there is no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that you are a messenger of his. A messenger from God. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted his Islam. And history has proven after that that he has accomplished for Islam and gained for Islam. He lost one of his eyes. In the battles of Ar-Ridda when they were fighting people who turned on Islam. After the death of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At the beginning of his Islam, he wasn't a strong Muslim and he had numerous mistakes. It took him a time to adjust that he's not a leader. Of Quraysh, and he's a Muslim just like all the Muslims on the same level. He's not better than they are. He's not an elite, and they are lesser than he is. It took him a while to get accustomed to that, but he has accomplished, and he has given Islam. He lost his eye in defending Islam. Then Al-Abbas turned to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whispered to him, said, O Messenger of Allah, Abu Sufyan is an elite man, and he loves elitism, and he loves to have a status. Give him some of that. For he likes to brag, and he likes to be distinguished. Give him some of that. This was the advice of Al-Abbas to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Whomever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is safe. And whomever closed his door in his home is safe. And whomever comes around the Kaaba is also safe.
أي شخص دخل أغلق عليه بابه فهو آمن. يعني أي باب مغلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يفتح بابه من
So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم gave this to Abu Sufyan to take back to Mecca, telling them that whomever comes in my house when the Muslim army comes in, he will be safe. And whomever stays in his house and shuts his door and does not come out, he will be safe. And whomever stays around Al-Kaaba in Mecca, he will be safe. So this was a type of honor that Abu Sufyan was very, very happy with, to basically grant safety and security to his tribe if they do not carry weapons against the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم distinguished him with that, gave him this honor. Then Abu Sufyan started to prepare to leave. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told Al-Abbas,
يكلم نفسه صلى الله عليه وسلم بينه وبين العباس، قال احبسه بمضيق الوادي حتى تمر به جنود الله فيراك. نفسه قال للعباس
مثلا صلى الله عليه وسلم whispered to العباس told him slow him down in the straight area of the valley. The valley between the two mountains entering Mecca is very, very wide, and there is a narrow strait that leads outside of that area, outside of that valley going into Mecca. So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told Al-Abbas, whispered to him, telling him to keep Abu Sufyan, slow him down until the entire army passes by him. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم wanted to show him and strike fear in the heart of Abu Sufyan and intimidation, so that when he goes back to Mecca, he tells them and warns them exactly what would be the consequences of going after or going against an army like this. So Al-Abbas followed the instruction of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, stalled Abu Sufyan and slowed him down in that straight area. And as they were waiting, the battalions of the, if you will, because the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to break down his army into battalions of different tribes, and each tribe carries a banner. So the hundreds of banners were passing by. Each tribe had its banner, and every time a banner passes by, Abu Sufyan would ask Al-Abbas, which tribe is this banner for? And Al-Abbas would say Sulaym, the tribe of Sulaym. And then another one would pass. Until all the tribes pass, each time he sees a banner, he asks, whose banner is this? And then the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came in with his green banner, with him the dwellers of Medina, Al-Muhajirin and Al-Ansar. You can't see any of them except for their eyes. Their faces were covered with steel, shields, helmets. You can't see nothing but their eyes.
قال من هؤلاء؟
أبو سفيان asked, who are those؟ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Al-Abbas said, this is the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with his special battalion of المهاجرين and
the قال يا أبا الفضل قد أصبح ملك ابن أخيك عظيما. قال
أبو سفيان said, أبو العباس, the kingdom of your cousin, the kingdom of your nephew is now the greatest among the Arabs.
قال أبو سفيان قال قد أصبح ملك ابن
أبو سفيان was impressed.
قال إنها النبوة. قال العباس قال إيه؟
Al-Abbas answered, said, this is prophethood. This is being a messenger of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. It's not being a king.
قال
He's supported by God. He's not supported by men and tribes. And that is the secret of his strength.
قال فجاء فصرخ بأعلى صوته هذا محمد جاءكم فيما لا قبل لكم به.
أبو سفيان
فمن دخل دار أبي سفيان فهو آمن.
Heard to Mecca.
هذا محمد جاءكم فيما
screaming at the doors of Mecca saying, here comes Muhammad with his mighty army. Whomever enters my house will be spared, and whomever stays in his house and lock it on him will be safe.
وقالت يعني اقتلوا الشيخ
and then he went to his house.
الحميد الدسم قبح من طليعة قوم
and when he walked into his house his wife grabbed his beard grabbed Abu Sufyan's beard and started pulling it and she started screaming kill this crazy old man and turned to him and saying how dare you put your people down and discourage them from defending themselves and defending their city against Muhammad and his army. Abu Sufyan turned to his people saying don't listen to this woman, she has not seen what I have seen. Muhammad and his army are not the same Muhammad that you, Muhammad's army that you have seen. And people split, separated, ran to their houses and closed their doors. Then the Messenger ﷺ reached the area of Dhi-Tuwa, which is on the entrances of Mecca.
ووقف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على راحلته وقد اعتمنا يعني بشق من بردة حمراء فاعتذر يعني اعتمنا بشق
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم had his head
إنه ليضع رأسه تواضعا
made of red cloth
حين رأى ما أكرمه الله به من
دخل sat on his horse and in entering Mecca the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم kneeled his head down and on his horse he lowered his head to the posture of sujood as he is touching his forehead with the ground thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bestowing this on him the ability to enter Mecca in the manner that he is entering after he was kicked out after he fled it in fear for his faith and how he's entering it now as a conqueror, as a leader. So he entered Mecca with his head bowed down. Then the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم entered Al-Masjid al-Haram, entered towards Al-Kaaba. Then Abu Bakr al-Siddiq Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with his father. His father lived in Mecca. Abu Quhafa, who was the father of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, who was a kafir, was not a Muslim. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq grabbed his father by the hand and came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in Al-Kaaba. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saw him and said to Abu Bakr, why did you bring him to me? Why didn't you wait for me to go to him? He's an older man and you shouldn't have brought him out and made him walk. Abu Bakr said, he ought to come to you and not you to him. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم touched the father of Abu Bakr's chest and wiped his hand against his chest and asked him to accept Islam and submit. And Abu Bakr's father became Muslim. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم then divided the army into sections, put Zubair ibn al-Awwam leading one and Sa'd ibn Ubadah leading another.
فقال سعد اليوم يوم الملحمة اليوم تستحل الحرم اليوم تستحل الحرم فلما جعل
So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم broke the army, like we said, into two sections, two parties, led by two different men. Sa'd, the leader of one, said, this is the day of battle, this is the day of conquer. And this is the day we take what's ours. The Messenger said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it permissible for me for 1 hour of a day. And after that 1 hour of the day, it is haram to fight in this place, ever. If anybody wants to fight, tell them that it is permissible for us to fight you, and if you want to fight, we will fight you.
اليوم تستحل الحرمة فعمر رضي الله عنه قال يا رسول الله ما نأمن أن يكون لسعد في قريش صولة عمر لم قال يعني سعد إيه أنصاري يعني ليس بينه وبين قريش رحمة
عمر بن الخطاب سيد المسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم that سعد is an Ansari, he's from Medina, he's not from Mecca, and he has no connections or ties to Mecca. And what if he exceeds his limits and overdoes it? For he has no ties to Mecca and he has no mercy or feelings towards Mecca. And Umar asked the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make a different leader to that section than Sa'd. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his advice and put Ali ibn Abi Talib, the leader of that section, instead of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, who was from the Medina, was not from the
Medina.
And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Khalid ibn al-Walid, which is the greatest leader in battles and wars among the Arabs. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put Khalid on the right flank as a leader. So when Khalid took his section of the army and entered from the right hand side of Mecca,
فلقيه بنو بكر فقاتلوه فقتل منهم نحو 20.
He ran into a group from Bani Bakr, who were the allies of Quraysh. He ran into them, killed 20 of them, and the rest fled when they saw 20 of them killed.
وارتفعت طائفة على الجبل. الذين فروا هاربين منهم
Among the ones that fled, ran upwards to the mountain. And the Muslims, a group of the Muslims, followed them up to the mountain, chased them with their swords. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his way, entered Mecca ascending. He saw them on top of that mountain and the Muslims fighting them. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spread the word. Didn't I forbid fighting? The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before this said, I forbid any of you to fight unless those who fight you. And whoever does not fight you, do not fight them. So when the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw some of the Muslims chasing those fleeing, to the mountain. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, didn't I forbid this? Some of the companions replied, Khalid ibn Walid did not attack, he was attacked, he was started with the attack, and he defended his battalion, attacked them as they defended himself and attacked them. And he got a part of them and the rest fled, and some of the Muslims are chasing them, and these are the ones that attacked. The Messenger gave safety and security to everybody except a group, and he ordered that this group, if you find them pleading and carrying pleading and holding the house of God in a Kaaba, grab them and kill them. If this group was asking for forgiveness and grabbing al-Kaaba, even if they are grabbing Al-Kaaba.
من هؤلاء
grab them and kill them.
عبد الله بن أبي صخر واحد من
among them is عبد الله
بن أبي
صخر.
كان قد أسلم وكتب الوحي. كان قد أسلم.
This man became a Muslim and he used to write the Quran. He was somebody who wrote and he was able to write and read, and he used to write Al Quran as it was coming to the Messenger of Allah. And then he became a kafir
and attacked Muslims.
And Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh was the brother of Uthman ibn Affan.
ففر إلى عثمان عبد الله بن
and he ran to عثمان.
يعني علم أن
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صح found out that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that he is to be killed. He ran to his brother عثمان.
يعني أخفاه عنده حتى أتى به المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم.
عثمان hid him. عثمان hid his brother.
عبد الله بن أبي صرح إلى النبي صلى الله عليه
وسلم. And then he took عبد الله بن أبي صرح.
قال يا رسول الله يعني قد.
And brought him to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الأمان.
And he tried to intercede with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, "O Messenger of Allah, please grant him security and safety." The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم did not reply.
طلب من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يؤمنه، فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هي سكت طويلا.
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم kept silent for a long pause.
فسكت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مدة طويلة لا يرد. ثم بعد ذلك قال نعم.
And after that pause, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم accepted.
فلما انصرف قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لمن حوله. And when he left, قد صمت ليقوم عليه أحدهم.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said when they left, I kept quiet and I paused.
يعني أطلب له
hoping أنا. That one of you would jump and kill him. And I did not want to give him safety and security for what he has done is great. The companion said, wouldn't you have given us a signal? Like with your eye, with your head, give us a signal to get him.
فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم
replied,
إن النبي لا ينبغي أن يكون له خائنة أعين.
A messenger does not betray with his eyes or his limbs. A messenger or a prophet does not show something and do something else. A messenger does not betrays like that.
شخص آخر ممن أهدر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دمه هو عبد الله بن خطر.
Another one is
عبد الله بن خطر.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered to be killed.
كان مسلما.
عبد الله بن خطر.
أيضا كان مسلما.
He was a Muslim and also became a kafir.
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, kill him even if he grabbed the curtains of Al-Kaaba. The Muslim found him and killed him. Among those also, Al-Huwayrith, the son of Nufayl.
من جرائمه أنه لما يعني خرج العباس
this guy when العباس
بأهله وقرابته
left with his family to المدينة
فالعباس حمل فاطمة وأم كلثوم ابنتي المصطفى
العباس carried the two daughters of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم فاطمة and أم كلثوم. Those two daughters were in Mecca. Al-Abbas was asked by the Messenger to bring his two daughters to follow the Messenger to Medina. This man This man hit the horse that the two daughters of the Messenger were on, and that caused the horse to flinch and dropped the two daughters of the Messenger to the ground. And that was one of the things that this man has done in attacking the family of the Messenger in Mecca, while the Messenger was in Medina. Ali ibn Abi Talib found him and killed him. Among them also is Safwan ibn Umayyah and Ikrimah, the son of Abi
Jahl.
Safwan ibn Umayyah is Safwan ibn Khalaf. And Umayyah ibn Khalaf was among the leaders of Quraysh that helped the Messenger and the Muslims tremendously. Now Safwan, when he found out, Safwan ibn Umayyah, when he found out, left Mecca, fled towards Jeddah on the Red Sea area. Amir ibn Wahb came to intercede with the Messenger, telling him that Safwan is among the nobles of Mecca, and you have accepted and gave security to others. Why don't you give security to him? And the Messenger granted him security. And Amir followed Safwan and told him, followed him towards the Jeddah area and told him, this is your cousin and his success is your success. Safwan said, I fear that he will kill me. And Umayr said that he gave, the Messenger gave me his word that you will be safe. So Safwan came with Umayr in front of the Messenger, told the Messenger that this man claims that you have given me security. The Messenger said, he did not like you, he told you the truth. Safwan said, give me 2 months period. I don't want to become a Muslim right now. The Messenger said, you have 4 months, not two. For he did not want to stay in Mecca. The Messenger told him, you can leave for 4 months and come back and you will be safe.
Akrimah,
the son of Abi Jahl, who is another noble of Mecca that fought the Messenger and died, was killed in the Battle of Uhud. Akrimah is also one of the elite fighters and leaders in battles. Also, his blood was spilled, and the Messenger wanted him killed. His wife was Muslim. His wife was a Muslim secretly. And she came to the Messenger and asked the Messenger to spare her husband. To spare her husband, to give him a chance to become Muslim. And the Messenger accepted.
The sister, the sister of
Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was Muslim, came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in the time of Duha. In the time of Duha. And the time of Duha is between dawn and afternoon, or between the morning and the afternoon. And this is the time of Duha. And the Messenger has entered his house and performed wudu and prayed 8 rak'ahs. And some scholars say that this is the prayer of victory, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving him victory. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم finished his prayer and found Umm Halik, the sister of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He found her waiting for us. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, welcome, my cousin. She said, two men of my in-laws, two men close to from my husband's family, approached me seeking safety. And my brother, Ali ibn Abi Talib, my brother swore to kill them because you wanted them killed. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whomever you give protection and safety and security, has it. Will not be harmed.
The
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came to Al-Kaaba and performed tawaf on his horse seven times. Seven rounds. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, every time he comes towards the black stone, he touches it or he points to this black stone with a stick that he had, that he was carrying it.
And when he was done,
he called for Uthman ibn Talha. And Uthman ibn Talha had the key of Al-Kaaba. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم took the key of Al-Kaaba, opened it, and entered. And upon entering, said, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then entered Al-Kaaba. Around Al-Kaaba was 365 idols, 365 stone idols that the people of Mecca worshipped. And they had pictures inside Al-Kaaba. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered those statues and those idols to be demolished and broken, and participated in demolishing them. And in doing it, he was saying, the truth has come and falsehood has fallen. For falsehood, in the presence of for falsehood in the presence of truth cannot survive. And he went on demolishing those idols along with his companions until they broke all of them. Then he gathered the people of Quraysh, the people of Mecca, gathered them and said to them, what do you think I'm supposed to do with you now? And they replied, an honorable brother, a son of an honorable brother. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم replied and said, go, you're all free. Ali ibn Abi Talib wanted the key of Kaaba to be in the hands of Bani Hashim, which is the messenger's tribe, Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم's tribe. For the keeper of the Kaaba is a great status. For Bani Hashim was responsible, had the duties of watering, which means providing water for the pilgrims that come to Al-Kaaba to perform Hajj and perform visiting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Bani Hashim, the tribe of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, were responsible for the water. And Ali wanted also the key. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم called for Uthman ibn Talha and said to Uthman ibn Talha, today is the day of loyalty and today is the day of gratitude. And said, this is your key, and this key will be yours forever. And whomever takes this key from you is somebody who transgresses on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this key is for you and for your sons till the day of judgment. And this passes on from this day through like it was before till the end of time. And this is the tribe of Shayba. And this is where the ayah in the Quran that says, "Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanat," meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you to keep your oaths and your responsibility and not change them because you are in power or in a different situation. So the Messenger of Allah demolished the idols, and when he entered the Kaaba, he ordered Bilal to perform adhan. And Bilal ibn Rabah entered the Kaaba with the Messenger of Allah, and the Messenger of Allah ordered him to perform adhan.
فدخل بلال من الكعبة مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبو سفيان وعتاب بن أسير والحارث بن هشام جلوس بفناء الكعبة.
أبو سفيان and other elites or leaders of Quraysh were looking, and Bilal was a slave, was a black slave. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم made him among the nobles in allowing him to enter Al-Kaaba, which was only permissible for nobles to enter.
فقال عتاب قد أكرم الله أسيدا ألا يكون سمع هذا وأبوه.
عتاب said, God had mercy on my father, for he did not live to see this day. Meaning a black man, a slave, entering Mecca, entering Al-Kaaba. So Attab was telling that to other elite leaders around him, including Abu Sufyan was present when he said that. Al-Harith said,
Harith
said, if I know that Muhammad is on the side of truth, I still would not have followed him. Abu Sufyan said, no comment. No comment. I'm not going to say anything. For I know if I said something, the stone around me is going to go to Muhammad.
فخرج إليهم المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج من
المسجد صلى الله عليه وسلم walked out of Al-Kaaba, and these people were speaking in secret. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم walked out of Al-Kaaba and said, I know what you said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed me of what you have said.
فقال قد علمت ما قلت.
Had meaning inspired me of what you have said. He told them, you said this and that, and you said this and that, and you said so and so. Al-Harith and Attab said, we bear witness that you are a messenger of Allah. For there is no way you could have known what we have said. No one knows what we said, and we whispered it.
Then
the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم walked to the area of As-Safa.
The
Ansar, the dwellers of Medina, said, do you think now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conquered Mecca for him, do you think that he's going to dwell in it now and abandon our city and leave back to Mecca? When the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was done in As-Safa area,
جاء إليه صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما قلتم قالوا لا شيء.
And said, asked them, what did you say? And they said nothing. And said, I will not leave this area until you tell me. And they told them what they said. They were embarrassed to repeat what they said among themselves to him.
فلم يزل حتى أخبروه فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم
محيا محياكم
والممات مماتكم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there is no way I will abandon المدينة. Living is living among you, and death is dying among you.
ثم أقام صلى الله عليه وسلم بمكة بعد فتحها 15 ليلة.
Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed in Mecca for 15 nights. And in those 15 nights or 15 days, he performed salah with qasur, meaning praying al-dhuhr 2 rak'ahs instead of 4, al-asr 2 rak'ahs instead of 4, al-isha 2 rak'ahs instead of 4, meaning that he was traveling, so he was performing qasur in salah. These are the main events in the Battle of Mecca. It was one of the greatest battles in Islam. Was a step toward strengthening this faith. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with what we heard and said. We'll take a quick question. Hind ibn Utba, the wife of Abu Sufyan, when did she become Muslim? We will go through details in the next lesson, inshallah. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد. We'll continue next week, inshallah.